He was covering the Chiefs the day Patrick Mahomes was born. He was covering the Chiefs the day Mahomes brought the Lombardi Trophy back to Kansas City.
Kansas City has won their first Super Bowl in 50 years. 50 years of lifetime.
He's Adam Teicher of ESPN on the program.
Hour number two of the program begins with a little chat with Adam Teicher. You heard it. Covering the Chiefs for 400 years. 400. A lifetime. For like a wizard or something.
Houston. He went to ESPN and he said, look, give me the job to cover the Chiefs. And they said, Adam, it's 1600. The NFL doesn't even exist yet. And he said, it will, and you're going to want me.
Well said. Well played. Well played. We welcome Adam Teicher. He's brought to you by our friends at the University of Kansas Health System. Did you know you can be seen by the same folks that care for the Chiefs, care for the Royals, care for the Kansas City Current? That's right. You can be seen right now. Orthopedic care is available walk-in style at 435 and all in Overland Park. That's right. Weekdays 8 to 7, Saturdays 8 to 2. You can walk right in whether you suffer an orthopedic injury in everyday life or playing sports. Be seen by those same experts. KansasHealthSystem.com/orthopedics to get more details. Adam, how are you, sir?
Good, Seren. How are you doing today?
Doing very good. Reactions, first of all, to Andy Reid and, not going to go there, as we knew it would be, on Rashee Rice.
Yeah, no surprise. I mean, he tried to head off questions before we even got a chance to start with it. But, there are a few things that, he can talk about with regards to the football part of it. So I wanted to ask him about that part of it. And it looks like Rashee Rice is going to participate for now. But it's going to be a deal where the Chiefs going to be talking about this for a while, no doubt.
What do you think Patrick Mahomes says to him?
What are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, we got a pretty good thing going here. You've got a pretty good thing going here. What are we doing? I mean, that's what I think he probably said to him. Like, hey, we don't need to be doing this stuff when we're trying to win Super Bowls. You could have made yourself a lot of money here. And now his future is so murky. So I'm guessing he just was giving him a little big brother advice. Like, hey, knock that kind of stuff off.
Andy Reid said they'd wait and see how the legal process plays out. They can't wait. It's not going to play out before the draft. So how do you think they view the wide receiver position now?
Yeah. I mean, there's no way the Chiefs can count on Rashee Rice or should count on Rashee Rice being available, for a full season. So, this has to impact how the Chiefs looked at this. I mean, they don't have – even if Rashee Rice was playing, I mean, would you feel good about what they have at wide receiver? I mean, they've got him. They've got Hollywood Brown. They've got Justin Watson. They've got a couple guys who were huge disappointments last year in Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney, and that's really about it. So they needed help even before this. This just strengthens the need a little bit. So, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt they'll be drafting at least one wide receiver and probably signing a veteran at some point as well.
Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney, sure, maybe there's something there. I don't think so. But to your point, I don't feel that bad if Rashee Rice, you said even if he's there, do you feel good at wideout? I do for this year, but I don't. For the position moving forward. I'm with you in the sense that it's still very much a need position. But if Rashee Rice were going to start the year and Hollywood Brown were going to start the year and Watson's my third and we're going to trying to coach up Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore and, Justin Ross and then see if we can, find another draft pick. Yeah, I actually would feel pretty good about the wide receiver position this year. But I don't, because I think Hollywood Brown will be just a replacement with a different style and different, set of patterns that he's going to run. And you know, no, I think starting the year, you're back at the, we got to grind it down the field and let's cross our fingers and hope Kelce can stay healthy and still be a weapon, because without him, then we got big problems.
Yeah, so they need some help. And I just feel like with where they are, with all the uncertainty, you know, it's also a mistake. I said a minute ago, it's a mistake to count on a full season from Rashee Rice. Well, it's a mistake to count on either or both Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore to bounce back. I mean, if you get it, great. You know, if you get all that stuff, that's great. If you get a full season from Rashee Rice, that's great. But you can't count on that at this point. I mean, they fooled you last year. Why would you be fooled by him again? So, the Chiefs need more of a sure thing in there. So I feel like there's going to be a couple guys who are in that playing group when the season starts next year who aren't on the roster right now. I feel pretty strongly. Maybe a rookie and a veteran, maybe one of both.
They do like to be strong at every spot before they head into the draft. And there's no way. I mean, Andy didn't tip his cards. I asked him specifically about wideout and Wanya Morris at left tackle, and he pretty much is like, yeah, we'll look at those, but we'll look at everything. I mean, do you think it's at a point that they have to go get a wide receiver? And, you know, to me, I'm never about, like, take the best wide out. If there's a great, you know, defensive tackle and you pass on him because you're taking the best wide out left, that's a mistake.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But an approach I would listen to is if you go, well, we think there are six guys at the wide receiver position and six guys at the offensive tackle position. And if six wideouts are gone and 5-0 tackles are gone and it's pick 24 and you can engineer a trade to get up and get one of those tackles, I'd be for that, right? Like, and we know Brett Beach likes to trade up more than he likes to trade down. Do you think we're going to see Brett Beach moving up?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, you know, I'd never bet against him doing that. I mean, he's done it so many times now, so I wouldn't count that out for the Chiefs. I mean, but I wouldn't trade up if I were them. If you think, you know, there's three guys you like, and you think one of them, at least one of them, is going to be there at 32, then I wouldn't trade up in that case. So, they study these drafts. They have a pretty good feel for how they're going to go. So, I wouldn't put that past them to trade up and move up from 32. Not at all.
Are you surprised that there wasn't change in the coaching staff? And by that I mean one position and one position only, wide receiver.
Andy Reid's pretty loyal to his guys. How many guys has he gotten rid of over the years? You know, there's been a little bit of change since he's been with the Chiefs, but not a whole lot. And so the ones, the change there has been, it's been guys moving on. So he's been pretty loyal to his guys. So, no, I'm not really surprised. I thought he would stick with them. So we'll see what happens with the wide receivers this year. But no, not really. Not surprised.
I David Culley, maybe a rock star in practice. I don't know. I'm not aware. But how many years does he get to work with Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney before we either say we need a different coach or we need different players?
Now you're talking about Connor Embry.
He was
in his first year last year as a wide receivers coach. I wouldn't have an leash for the guy if things don't get a little better this year. But Reed is loyal, so I don't know if you'd expect it or not, but it certainly could come. But he's not. He's loyal. You got to know that about him. He's loyal to his guys.
Yeah, and listen, I know Connor Embry's the son of a coach, and he may be, like I said, and people at KU speak very highly of him. I'm just talking about the results, right? Like, we used to have these questions about the D-line and Britt Reed coaching the D-line, right? Like, I know everyone's got to get a start somewhere, but I don't know that it needs to be the two-time defending world champions that – last year it was the one-time defending world champion. I don't know that this is necessarily the spot for the coaching training program. Like, the receivers need to be better this year, or they need to get better. Because Patrick Mahomes only has so many years. I can't stress that everything needs to be viewed from the lens. We as a franchise, like the Patriots are viewed as one of the model franchises. They were a wart on the ass of the league before Tom Brady got there and Bill Belichick. Like, this window of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid cannot be squandered. You have to squeeze every bit of production out of it.
No, no doubt.
Because you're going to go through a period maybe of 50 years without a franchise quarterback again, and it's going to be really hard to add to what is your legacy.
No, I completely agree that there's a sense of urgency for the Chiefs to take advantage of every one of these Patrick Mahomes seasons. And I think they feel it. I mean, maybe just judging it by this move, you would say Andy Reid doesn't. But he gets that. He understands all of that. So, but and maybe he'll be proven right in the end on this. I don't know. But not off to a great start on that regard. But we'll see where it goes from here.
Do you see them going through the draft, and then Donovan Smith they grabbed right after the draft last year? Do you think, whether it's that or another linebacker or another D lineman, do you think that there's still another free agent move for them to make?
Yeah, I mean, maybe wide receiver. I could see a number of positions possibly, depending on who gets. Maybe it'll be somebody who's still on a roster right now who gets cut and comes free, and the Chiefs said, hey, he can make us better, let's make a move. So, I do think there could be a Donovan Smith-type signing shortly after the draft. Could be at a number of positions. Wide receiver, again, is another one that I'm wondering. Let's see what they do in the draft, and they may decide they've got to have somebody.
Are you? Do you have a draft crush right now, a guy that you think is a perfect, or several guys that you think are perfect fits for the Chiefs?
No, I haven't gone into it to that regard yet. I'm wondering about Ladd McConkey. I mean, I think he, might be a good fit for the Chiefs if he's there at 32, and I think he probably will be. So that might be a guy. Other than that, I haven't really looked at it in any kind of depth yet. But I'll certainly get there, no doubt.
Yeah, I like Ladd McConkey. I like all the long arm tackles, right? Yeah. Amarius Mims. Would be my dream that he would fall all the way to 32. My dream is that they get a tackle in round one. I think it's harder to find a starting tackle outside of round one than it is a starting wideout.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, no doubt. If it comes down to that, if it's, the Chiefs have two guys evenly graded, a wide receiver and an offensive tackle, when it comes time for them to pick, I think the tackle might be the more wise move just because those guys are harder to find. But, that also depends on where you think the board is going with your next pick, and can you find a receiver that you really like at that spot. So, a lot goes into it. But, yeah, in general, yeah, I'm with you.
Of the positions, wideout and offensive tackle, I think, are considered the two biggest knee positions. If there's a position we're not talking about that they might use their first selection, whether it's round one or they trade down a little bit into round two, that we're not talking about, what position would that be?
Well, I think those two are the ones that if you're looking at position is of need. But, I can see them going a lot of different directions if it's a player they like. I mean, it's not going to be a quarterback, not going to be a running back. But, if you got a tight end there that they really like, if it's the, a kid from Iowa who is kind of he's been injured, Eric All, but maybe the Chiefs get some good medicals on him and feel like he can be the next Travis Kelce or a guy who can do some of the things for them that Kelce's done over the years. Then that would that wouldn't surprise me. DB wouldn't surprise me. Corner wouldn't surprise me just because after trading Legarius Sneed, but. I think the biggest positions of need, as we know, are wide receiver and offensive line, but I could see them going a lot of different directions with this.
I think of all the guys they re-signed, Tershawn Wharton, Derek Nnadi, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, if there's a guy that I think is least likely or as the, you know, from my eye, by performance, the greatest chance of being drafted over and then not making the team, it would be Derek Nnadi. Who would be the guy on for you with those criteria?
I think it's Clyde. Yeah, is he a good fit for what the Chiefs are doing? I mean, is he going to be a productive player? I mean, they can't be done at running back. I mean, they got to do something else. And I think it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'm still not sold that he will be playing for the Chiefs next year. But Nnadi is another solid candidate for that as well.
Although Andy Reid made a point last year to say, well, we got Derek Nnadi, he never gets any credit. I was like, really? The coach feeling a need to stick up for a guy?
A rare editorial comment of that nature from Reid.
Yeah, sure. I mean, he said that in the playoffs last year, and I'm like, he didn't get any credit for a reason. I mean, you know.
Someone goes, duh.
Yeah, I don't get any credit for being fast, coach, because I'm not fast. It's an important part of getting credit. I mean, I appreciate him sticking up for one of his players, but I'm with you. I was like, what? Clyde Edwards-Helaire's back? I did not see that one coming. I really didn't see that one coming. I assumed it was just the natural progression of things that, you know, P. Ryan would bump up, Denerick Prince would make the squad, and whoever, whatever other camp darling gets brought in, or rugby guy would be in the mix.
And what I noticed that almost everyone who makes any effort to defend or explain away the move, the first thing they always go to is that he's a great teammate, the great locker. Should that be the first thing that you go to? How much value really is there to being a great teammate?
Yeah, if that's number one on the list, it's probably a pretty short list, right? So I was surprised when they brought him back, and I feel pretty strongly they'll draft a running back as well. So, you know, hey, he could make it as a third guy, Edwards-Helaire, but I don't know. You know, if somebody looks good in camp, if Denerick Prince shows more in camp than he did last year, he could be gone.
Yeah. I think the good guy thing does matter. If you're going to be the last guy on the roster, you can't be a jackass.
Yeah.
Which is why I can't explain Kadarius Toney still being in the organization. Because I think he's the last guy on the roster.
I think he's going to make it.
Of course he is.
I mean, you heard Reid today. I mean, he really, speaking of sticking up for a guy, I mean, what did he say? He called him arguably the most talented guy on the roster, or one of the most talented guys on the roster. They're not. I don't think they're ready to give up on him. You know, maybe they see something there in the off season or camp and said, okay, he just doesn't get it. It's not going to happen, and they do give up on him. But right now, I certainly, even before what Reid said today, you've heard me. I've talked about him all along. I just don't think the Chiefs are ready to quit on the guy yet.
Is there a chance that there's any bit of, we're going to show you guys that was the right move, and we're going to stick with it because, to, you know, any chance that there's any motivation from that perspective? Everyone thinks this is the best. We're going to show you guys this is the right move. We're going to keep bringing it back until eventually he gives us what we want.
Yeah, there's something. You know, every coach thinks he can coach every player into being a great player. I mean, that's just what you see. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, I think there is a little bit of something to that, you know, hey, he's better than you guys think, and we will get it out of him. We'll be the ones who get it out of him. You know, they wouldn't have made that trade with the Giants if they hadn't thought that, you know, there's a little bit of that, hey, you know, he's going to be better here than he was there because he's going to get better coaching and better support and better this and better that. And maybe, you know, sometimes there's some truth to that, you know, that they do a better job with certain guys. And we'll see if they're right with this one. But I just haven't sensed at all that they were ready to move on from him. I just don't think they're anywhere close to that point right now.
I mean, at the risk of, you know, like when you get your favorite song and like you love it. Like back in the day when, you know, you listen to music on the radio and you had your song and they'd play it once every 48 minutes. you know? And by the end of like 3 weeks, you're like, God, even I've heard enough of that one. So at the risk of wheeling out the one you're tired of hearing every 48 minutes, what talent with Kadarius Toney? What talent are we talking about?
Yeah. And I'm the guy who tells you every 48 minutes that you're stuck with the guy for a little while, whether you like it or not.
I know, but I just can't.
I mean, to the point where the quarterback literally basically said in New England, seemingly, I can't do it with him anymore. And he disappeared from the game plan from that day forward, essentially. And they went on to win a Super Bowl. It's hard to construct an argument for his return, but they don't really have to construct an argument when
that's
it's his team, though, isn't it? That's
a great point. Because he was mentioned today, and, you know, Patrick Mahomes mentioned him today that, oh, it's like, you know, I love, like, you know, I think the question was something that was an interesting question. It was like, you know, starting new. Like, what's the part you love? What's the part you don't like? Right? And he mentioned some of the kind of the formation stuff was kind of tedious and that. But he's like, oh, you know, it's kind of getting to know everybody, getting to know the new guys and getting, you know, being there and, you know, watching. You know, I love working with Sky. Like, he made a point, first of all, to like, oh, you know, little Joey who sucks. I'm going to put my arm around little Joey and let him know he's part of the team. I mean, you all see that he sucks, but he's with me, so get off his ass. Right? That was the Sky Moore Kadarius Toney comment. And he's like, oh, Kadarius coaching guys up. And I'm like, on what?
Please stop doing that.
Like, on what?
So the question we're not asking.
But real quick, but to finish, but to Curtis's point, 15 is clearly signed off on him, right? Because if he walked into Veach's office and said, gotta go, man, he's gotta go, there's no way he'd still be here, right?
Oh, yes. Agreed. I mean, if he said to Andy Reid, listen, I can't play with that guy again, period, you think Kadarius Toney would still be here? Not a chance. So, I know he was frustrated with him, and rightly so at the time. And, I'm sure his benching had a little something to do with at least with that frustration. But, I think if Mahomes clearly didn't want the guy around, he wouldn't be here still.
So that should beg us to ask the question, what is Patrick wearing in the photos that Kadarius has of him? Which keeps him around for so long.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens with him, no doubt. Every 48 minutes, I'm going to give you a reminder.
Playing the hits here on the program.
That's what we're doing. We're doing, Adam's like, he's going to be here, and Adam's right. And I'm like, but I don't know why, and I think I'm right. I think there's any reason for him to be there. But
once again, the number one song of the nation, What the Hell, by Kadarius Toney.
Kansas City's favorite tune.
Yeah. Dear Casey,
please play Why the Hell Are You Still on This Team, by Kadarius Toney. I give them credit to prove me wrong, and I'll use my own line. If not him, then who? And it's clear they don't have the then who. And it's incumbent upon, you know, Brett Veach and his staff to find the then who so you can move forward from that. There's been a tremendous campaign to point out that Creed Humphrey had an injury last year, and that's why his snaps were bad. Is it that simple? His hand was injured, and now it's not, and that's all fixed?
Yeah, I guess we'll know. We'll find out. I'm a little bit skeptical of that, but we'll see. I mean, if he can't do it and do it right, and he had an injury, why wouldn't you do something else with that? You know, move him around or do whatever you had to do. So, I'm a little skeptical of that, but I guess we'll find out and see if he can get that fixed now that he's supposedly okay.
If they take a center in the second round, can we agree that that's crap?
Yeah, and they won't be re-signing Creed Humphrey next year either.
Well, I think they could re-sign him and play him at guard. I mean, I don't think they're going to keep Trey Jones and Creed Humphrey. We agree there?
Trey Smith? I don't think they'll be able to afford both those guys, no.
Yeah. I'm out of season, so thanks for bearing with me on all the bad names here. Trey Smith, I like both players, but I just don't think roster construction-wise, you can have two top-paid guards, a top-paid center, top-paid right tackle. That just doesn't fit in the cap.
No, it doesn't. And, they've already got two guys at or near the very top of the pay structure at their positions, quarterback and defensive tackle, and you just can't have too many of those guys, and that's why they traded Legarius Sneed. So, yeah, they can't afford both those guys for sure, and I'm wondering whether this isn't Joe Tooney's last year, good player, but, you know, he counts a lot against the cap. And I'm thinking, you know, you asked me earlier, surprise spots. What about an interior offensive lineman? Maybe not going to play much this year, but would figure in big down the line for sure.
Are you a Frank Caliendo fan?
I like the guy.
Okay, good. I did that one on purpose, just to see if Curtis looked up at me with a look. What about his distant cousin Mike Caliendo, the backup guard? I just want to see if Curtis would look up on that one. They've kept him around for a couple of years. Do you think he's the guy that's in line to be the cost savings at one of the guards next year?
Well, he could be. I mean, he's going to have to show some things that maybe he hasn't shown yet. But, you know, it's instructive to look what the Chiefs do with some of these developmental players, because they churn the bottom of their roster. If they don't like a guy, they'll move on from him pretty quickly. But if they keep a guy around for a while, they see something in him. So, I mean, this just, in their mind at least, isn't just a guy. It isn't necessarily a guy who's been productive or anything like that, but been a guy who they think has some qualities they can work with and develop into a pretty good player. So he is a guy who's worth watching in that spot, because they feel like he does have that kind of ability. Now, whether he can be that kind of player is another story, but I do think that that is something to watch there, and he very well could get that chance.
Can you do an impression of one?
I can't. I know you can, probably, Curtis.
Could Mike Caliendo come out and Cam and do his impression?
Does Mike Caliendo do a good John Gruden?
If he can do a good Nick Allegretti, the Chiefs would be happy with
that. Yes.
Oh,
hello.
Oh, what a reporter. Well done. Adam Teicher's with us here in the program. I'm like, do you like Xavier Leggett, the wide receiver from South Carolina? Because as Curtis mentioned this morning when we were chatting, I looked it up, and he is the name that is consistently being written next to the Chiefs. If South Carolina wide receiver Xavier Leggett comes to the Chiefs, are you going to be thrilled?
Well, I think that might be a good move. Now, you tell me it's going to be in the first round. I'm not sure about that, but if they can get him in the second round, I think that might be a pretty good place for them to go with that pick.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it. I wouldn't mind it.
Most of the mocks have him gone by the second round. The last two I've seen that have him going at 32, and big guy, but, boy, that's do they think everyone else is going to be gone by then? Maybe so.
Yeah, he'd be got to keep an eye on those, particularly if it does get down into the second round and the Chiefs didn't pick a receiver in the first round. Maybe that's the guy they make their move up for.
I will point out to Curtis, naysayer, about a guy going in the second round that both DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown were second-round picks. So stop bagging on the second-round wideouts.
I didn't know I did that. We'll have to review that later, because I wasn't aware that happened.
Adam, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
All right, good stuff, guys. Talk to you next time.
He's the man, Adam Teicher, covering the Chiefs since 1989. The Teich Bag, brought to you by our friends at the University of Kansas Health System, the folks that can see you quickly. They're open right now. Orthopedic walk-in care is available. Walk right in. Right now, be seen by the same experts that care for your Chiefs, your Royals, your Kansas City Current. I'm talking about the University of Kansas Health System. Orthopedic injuries, whether they happen in everyday life or playing sports, those experts can see you right now at 435 and all. They're open 8 to 7 weekdays, 8 to 2 on Saturdays.
All right, the good sense. End of the hour answer. Jackie Robinson. Of course, this is Jackie Robinson Day. First black player to be named Rookie of the Year, 1947. It was back when the 2 years that they had one award for both leagues. Wasn't until 49 that they split it off. Who was the second black player to be named Rookie of the Year?
I said Larry Doby, and you told me no.
He did not win the award.
Really?
He was a 8- or 9-time All-Star, but he did not.
Frank Robinson?
Nope.
Is it like take longer than you think? Is it one of those kind of things?
No, it was actually 2 years later.
Oh, I have no idea then. I'm swinging and missing bad then.
His teammate, this is in the first year, 49 was the first year that they split and had an AL and NL winner, Don Newcomb.
Don Newcomb. Los Angeles Dodgers. I knew that.
Here's what's interesting.
Stupid. Enoch is seriously cursing my name right now.
Once they split them, the first five National League Rookie of the Year winners were black. Don Newcomb, Sam Jethro, Willie Mays, Joe Black, and Jim Gilliam. 49 through 53. The first black player to win, be named American League Rookie of the Year, wasn't until 1966. Tommy Agee, who would later go on to start
be fullback for Auburn right. And block for Bo Jackson.
Would later go on to star in center field for the amazing Mets of 69, made the two great catches in the World Series. But it wasn't until 66 that they had their first black AL Rookie of the Year.
So second was?
It was Don Newcomb.
Don
19,
Newcomb.
1949.
Ah, God, I should have got that. That's terrible by me. Did you see did you watch Sunday Night Baseball at all, Dodgers, Padres?
I did not.
Dodgers have, Nike made a special edition cleat with 42 on it.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll have.
Oh, cool.
Not only will everybody be wearing jersey 42 and a hat that says has the B, Dodgers are going to put the B on the hat for Brooklyn, and then 42 on the side, but Nike did special edition cleats. So
very cool.
That was pretty cool.
I want to see how old we are. Jockey, the last player to wear number 42, he was kind of grandfathered in. They retired it. Nobody could wear it anymore. One last player.
Everybody that was wearing it then could wear it till their career
ended. This guy's career ended, what, oh,
are you
2015?
Talking about the last one ever or the last one for the Royals?
No, the last one ever.
Okay.
He's very well known.
Because the other one might be an end-of-the-hour question later.
Was he a closer?
Maybe I go ahead and turn on your mic. Yeah. Yes, he was a closer.
Mariano Rivera.
Attaboy.
There you go.
Yep. Yep.
So much for the 4 o'clock.
No, that was the other question was one I think I've got later.
No, the Rivera one is pretty well known. I just wanted to, it wasn't a test of his knowledge so much as a test of our age.
Yeah. our, you know, but he didn't, like, there's a bit of, what would you say, you were 70%?
Yeah.
He said
your voice
pretty,
went up
pretty quick,
end,
though.
So.
He goes, yeah. It was a closer.
He went position first, and then, you know, it's well done. I'm impressed. So we're not that old yet.
Or right? He's just really smart, one of the two.
Well, I think the second one absolutely is true.
I watched a friend of mine try to run this past weekend. I had friends in town, and that made me feel old. I mean, so I'm happy to hear, because he did not look. Those were heavy legs. And so I'm happy to know that we're not that far out of touch with the youth of today.
I feel old when I come in here because I go, well, one guy has tons of gray hair, and then myself and another guy has none of any color hair.
Right.
So maybe we just are old.
Yeah. You're not so. You're okay. Curtis, one foot in the grave.
Oh, yeah, for sure, at least.
Almost dead.
Yeah, I think one knee. I'm just kind of waiting to close the thing.
We put a mirror under his nose every now and then just to see.
Every time he makes an appointment with the doctor, he goes, he's still alive?
Well, we had you marked off. Yeah, we can probably squeeze you in for this one last time.
Okay, do I need a book for my physical next year? Really?
Why? If you wish. Well, that's...
That's wishful thinking.
That's ambitious.
Yeah. All right.
Don't get cocky.
Just one other thing, if you're moving on here.
I was.
Every year, I want to get this out on Jackie Robinson Day. People, as you get further and further away, fewer and fewer people know what the career was. Just go look at his career. He wasn't just a pioneer.
Right.
He was immediately one of the four or five best players in baseball. His first 3 years, and this is at ages 28, 29, and 30, so how many great years were lost? His slash line, 312, 395, 470, 865. He stole bases. He was an absolute terror on the base paths. It was a player unlike baseball had ever seen. And I think sometimes how great a player he was gets lost in the history of what he was to baseball at that time.
Well, and I do think his Rookie of the Year speaks to the, like when the Japanese players come over here and win Rookie of the Year, well, they're playing over in Japan. Oh, so you count that as a real league? Well, yeah, same thing. Like the Negro Leagues were high-level baseball.
Yes.
Maybe not every team, right? But they were high-level baseball because he came over and was immediately a stud.
Josh Gibson would have hit 500 MVP. Home runs if he'd played in the major leagues. Charleston would have been one of the five best shortstops ever if he'd played in the major leagues.
He won an MVP in like his third year, right?
In third year, yeah. Rookie of the Year in 47, MVP in 39. Where all he did was have 122 runs scored, 203 hits, 38 doubles, 12 triples, 16 homers, 125 RBIs, and 37 steals while leading the league at 342 in 156 games. He was amazing.
Yeah, great player, no doubt. All right, 913-3810-810. We got a little behind with Adam Teich. We'll take a break, come back, dig into a couple of the things that Adam had to say. A little Chiefs football talk next here in the program. A little scream comes a little later.
Mm-hmm.
If you had your dream scenario, right, for the Chiefs draft, they have seven picks, correct? What seven positions would they take? Or seven players at what positions? Maybe you double up. What's your dream?
I'm going to say I said last night that I think they're going to take three wideouts, but maybe three wideouts, a tackle, defensive line, tight end, corner. First Blanche. First, without really kind of trying to knock around too much. That's my first thought.
Give it to me again.
And maybe I've overdone the wideouts. I'm going to say three wideouts.
Yeah, they've got 1, 2, 3, 4. And then they've got 2 5s, the Cowboys in a compensatory pick, a 6, and the Panthers 7. They don't have their own 7. So they actually have 8.
8, okay. Well, then I'll definitely say 3 wideouts. I'll say 2 tackles, defensive lineman, 1, 2, 3, 4. Tight end, corner.
Yeah, they don't have a 6th.
Okay. So we're back to 7 then?
No.
Okay.
Yes, we are back to 7. That was right. Yes, we are back to 7. Because Neil Farrell is this year's 6th-round pick.
I'll still go 3 wideouts. 3 wideouts, a tackle.
No way they take 3 wideouts.
I don't think so.
I'll fall out of my chair.
Okay.
I think they go – I think they're actually going to take like a D lineman. But maybe offensive tackle. I think they'll go – O-tackle, in no particular order. O-tackle, wide out. D-tackle, guard slash center. Safety. Corner. Wide out.
So 2 wide outs.
Yeah. 2 wide outs. Probably not, actually. I take that back. They probably won't.
Just one?
Yeah. I think they'll probably take one. I think it'll be up high, but I think they'll probably take one because they count on their ability to get people open.
Could be.
But, listen, while they have won 2 championships without Tyreek Hill, that's not the plan. You know, the plan is to find another Tyreek Hill, preferably in the 5th round like you found him.
Mm-hmm.
But They just believe in their ability, and rightfully so. I think Andy Reid, I think they're going to take more defensive players than you think, but I still think seven picks, four will be offense. Guard, tackle, wide out. And if I'm wrong, there'll be a running back in there. I'd love to see him be a tight end, but I don't think they're going to take a tight end.
I could see a running back is the one I should have given more thought to.
And then D-tackle, corner safety.
Interesting.
And if I'm wrong, there'll be a linebacker. Maybe drop the D-tackle and put a linebacker in there.
But no point guard.
No. No point guard. We'll take a break. Come back. Two-minute drill is next.
All right, who was the last player to wear number 42 for the Royals? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.